Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word and for its instruction to our lives. We desire to be sensitive to your Spirit's prompting within us, that we would take hold of the truths here and put them to practice, that we might bring honor and glory to your name. Grant us understanding as we consider these things. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I will just briefly go cover what we did the last time I taught on Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Then I'll read Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 through the end of the chapter. The first lesson was Ecclesiastes 1, verses 1 through 11. Ecclesiastes is a Greek term that means a preacher or proclaimer, and Solomon is that proclaimer, and he had a message that he wanted to instruct at least the nation of Israel and maybe beyond, as many, such as the Queen of Sheba, sought his wisdom and insight into things, and said elsewhere that a number of rulers would come and seek audience with Solomon to hear his wisdom. Ecclesiastes is preacher, and we saw that the content of chapter 1 was that this is the words of the preacher, and the purpose is didactic, that is teaching, that he was giving a message to those who would read and hear what he was having to say. It was written in poetic prose, so it has Hebrew poetry, not exactly a poem, but in poetic phrases. The message of Ecclesiastes is to warn particularly young people not to walk through life on the path of human wisdom, but by the revealed wisdom of God. And in verse 1, we saw that the content was the words of the preacher. And who was the preacher? He was the son of David, the king in Jerusalem. And the only son of David that was king in Jerusalem was that of Solomon. And we went on to the theme of the book, that vanity of vanities, all is vanity. It's a futile attempt to be satisfied apart from God, the effects of the curse of sin. And we looked at Solomon's observation of life under the sun. The question, what advantage does man have in all his works which he does under the sun? And Solomon's conclusion is, indirectly, he doesn't. But if you go to the end of the book, where it says that all that we do will be held accountable before God, whether good or bad, and that life should be lived for him. Then he goes into the cycles of existence, human life, course of the sun, the pattern of wind, rivers, and hydrology. And his conclusion was that all things are wearisome. Man is not able to tell it. Eye is not satisfied with seeing, ear filled with hearing, and there is nothing new under the sun as far as the basic activities of mankind. They repeat over and over and over again. And some of the applications we considered were that we should know or accept life without God is vanity, that it is fleeting, futile, and incomprehensible. We should determine to learn from Solomon's experience, and we should appreciate Ecclesiastes as a book of scripture, and we should appreciate life and God's works and providence in human history. So then tonight we'll be considering the rest of chapter 1. Yeah, verses 12 through 18. So I'll read that if you would like to follow along in your Bibles. Beginning in verse 12, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under the heaven. It is a grievous endeavor which God has given to the sons of men, which is to occupy themselves. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is bent cannot be straightened, what is lacking cannot be counted. I spoke within my heart, saying, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my heart has seen an abundance of wisdom and knowledge. And I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and simple-minded folly. I came to know that this is also striving after wind. Because in much wisdom there is much vexation, and whoever increases in knowledge increases in pain. So we'll, if you have your sheet there with for Ecclesiastes 12 through 18, we will be considering Solomon's assessment of the pursuit of wisdom, verses 12 through 18. And we'll see that Solomon's appointment, Solomon's ambition, Solomon's achievement, and Solomon's assessment in these verses. First of all, Solomon's appointment, verse 12, I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem. So he is appointed by God through David to be king in Israel, whose capital is Jerusalem. And he claims to be the preacher, one that is going to give explanation on living and has a message for the people within the nation of Israel. Then secondly, Solomon's ambition in verses 13, and he said, I gave my heart to seek and to explore wisdom by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. And there he has made a determination in his life, in his younger days, to explore wisdom with concerning everything that exists on the earth in regard to mankind, and that was his purpose. And then he goes on to say in verse 13, it is a grievous task or grievous endeavor. I want to go back just a little bit in chapter 1, verse 12 through chapter 2, verse 23, deals with Solomon's personal testimony and his confession that he is unable to resolve life's most important issues without God. And that he would search for anything of value in regard to human life, and that there is none without God. And so the world is facing judgment from God if they are trying to live without him. So then we can go on that he is saying that this task of trying by wisdom to discern wisdom about everything that's under the sun is a grievous task. And some even translate it an evil task or an evil endeavor because it's so difficult, and the solution is not found after much work. And the word task or endeavor is the only place that's used is in Ecclesiastes. And it indicates a difficult thing, but it is God-given. And it's busy work that is humiliating. God plants in man to seek truth and simplify man to the results is frustration and failure without God, and the quest for truth and eternity is fruitless with searching without involving God in that. And then he goes on in verse 13. Now, this grievous endeavor God has given to the sons of man, which to occupy themselves. And in verse 14, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. So again, we had discussed a little bit what this vanity means, fleeting, futile. Depending on what context it is, it can have several different meanings. So to try to behold all and understand all without God, it is striving under wind, after wind. It may also be translated shepherding the wind. And we know how well we can shepherd the wind and the weather every day. We have no control over that. And so understanding everything that man faces in his lifetime, if he tries to do that without God, it is futile. And then Solomon realizes this search is a failure in trying to do that without God. Then he follows up with a parable in verse 15. What is bent cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted. So a parable is a statement that means to be like something, to resemble something, and it is often used with the words like or as. And so what is crooked cannot be straightened. Again, parables are general principles, and not that there can't be exceptions, but it's the general truth. So if we have a tree growing out of the ground and the trunk is bent over, we're not going to be able to straighten that without damaging the tree. So those things, there are things with our technology that have been bent that we can straighten, like railroad ties with heat and other things. But the general principle is those things that have started out bent or crooked cannot be straightened, and whatever is lacking cannot be counted. If you're looking at a pencil holder and there's no pencils in there, you can't count it because there's nothing there to count. So if it's lacking, if there's nothing there, you can't count it. It is zero. So you can't go 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever, when there's nothing there. So mankind cannot change all that is done under the sun. Only God can change the realities of man's existence. And it's referring back to verse 14, I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving or shepherding after wind. And so he is using this proverb to demonstrate that that these things are vanity and cannot be grasped and held onto. And so then his ambition to set his mind to seek wisdom and concerning everything under the sun has ended up being a failure because he was trying to seek wisdom without God. And so all through the book, Solomon points and instant after instant realizes that without God, life is empty and without meaning and futile and passes away quickly. Then secondly, Solomon's achievement. I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem. And after Solomon had, God had offered Solomon to ask him anything, after he was offered many offerings, his animal sacrifices, his request was to be wise. And God's promise was that he would be wiser than any man before or after him. So he, first of all, demonstrated he was somewhat wise because he realized that he didn't know everything and he needed God's help to be wise to rule over the nation of Israel. But and it said that, no one was wiser than Solomon. Then we see Solomon's assessment. I set my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. So not only did he try to search after what was wise, but what was also madness and folly and not wise. And he, first of all, came to a realization that this also was striving after the wind. It didn't have a fruitful result. And the reason was that in much wisdom is much grief. The more you know, we realize that not everything goes well and not everyone responds properly. And so it can bring grief. So the more you know, the more you have awareness of everything that goes on in the sinful world that we live in. And then increasing knowledge, again, basically a restatement, increases pain. So the more wisdom you have, the more grief and pain you suffer. And yet we'll see in the next chapter, he said it's still better to be wise than to be foolish. Some of the applications in this passage is that it is better to have joy unexpressible and full of glory, according to 1 Peter 18, versus inexpressible frustration of Romans 1, 20 through 25, in which mankind has rejected God, the existence of God, and they substitute other things to worship other than God, and they suffer the consequences of their sin later on in Romans. Because of God's judgment for rejecting him. Number two, only one can answer life's questions, and that is the Creator himself. And third, God implants the desire to know truth, but without God, the quest for truth and eternity is fruitless. So we're wanting to exclude God from our understanding. Then we will never come to the truth, and understanding eternity is beyond, as we can see from many modern scientists who try to explain everything without God through evolution and chance, and there's nothing after death, and basically paint a very discouraging, depressing existence in this life. Number four, some are so busy analyzing life they fail to live it one day at a time for God. And we have to be willing to accept that we are born sinners and we live in a sinful world, and without Christ our destination is eternal punishment. But if we are willing to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may still have suffered difficulties and hardships, but God is with us and he will bless us and grant us peace, even though we are suffering difficulties.